I'm going to be talking about stories this morning, so I thought it would be a good start to tell you a story I heard this week. It seems that a turtle was at a pond, and he was minding his own business when he was attacked and set upon by a group of snails, and he was mugged. And when the police came, they said to him, "Can you describe the snails?" And he said, "I don't know, it all happened so fast." Everyone loves a story. I remember when one of our daughters was 2 or 3 years old, my father came to visit, and my daughter would go up to him, and she'd plunk a book on his lap as she crawled up on the lap, and she'd say, "Read it." So it starts very young. I think one of the greatest storytellers in Canada in the past was Stuart MacLean, the Vinyl Cafe. And I think if you analyzed it, what made Stuart MacLean such a great storyteller was that he picked simple, everyday events to talk about. And we all enjoyed it. About a year or so ago, I started to get serious about studying the parables of Jesus. And the more I studied them, the more amazed I became at just what a great storyteller, a brilliant storyteller Jesus is. Parable, by the way, is a word that means to put alongside. And what Jesus did was he put an everyday event, and then alongside it, he put a tremendous truth. Someone has summarized, I think, a great summary, parable, said, "A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning." An earthly story with its heavenly meaning. I'm going to talk about Luke chapter 8, the first, I think, 15 or 16 verses. And I want to tell the story as Jesus hopefully told it to his audience. And he sat, I'm going to sit, but it helps my memory when I sit. It said that great crowds were coming to Jesus, and people were coming town after town to hear him. And it says Jesus told them this parable. It said a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled upon. And the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rock. And when it grew up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Some other seed fell among thorns, and they grew up together and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and when it came up, it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he cried out, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him, "What does the parable mean?" And Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those that fell along the path are the ones that hear, but then the devil comes and takes the word from their heart so that they do not believe and are not saved. Those that fall on the rock are like those who hear, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but then as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. And the seed that fell on good soil, those are those who are of noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. That's the parable. Simple, memorable. See, those were the characteristics of the stories Jesus told. They were from everyday events, so that people could relate to the details. You know, people could relate to a man going down the road and being mugged, and an unlikely hero coming along and helping him. They could relate to two brothers who were as different as day and night. One who wanted to go and spend all his father's inheritance and have a good time, and the other who stayed at home looking after the farm. And a father who shocked them both by his forgiving heart. People could remember those things. The other thing about Jesus' stories was that they were intended to give one major lesson. Sometimes they had a shocking side, a side that was not what people were expecting. But they always had a major point. And they always invited the audience to respond, either directly or implied. A response was expected from the listener. That story about the sower and the soils, really about the soils, is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. We can see those types of soils almost every day. A few years ago, I was a volunteer chaplain at the Red Deer Hospital. And I was amazed at the number of elderly people that I visited who didn't want to have anything to do with spiritual things, who didn't want to hear about God. I would typically ask them if I could pray for them, and I was surprised by the number of people said, no thanks. Hardened hearts. And I don't know why, but they somehow accepted the lie of Satan that they didn't need God. And whether it was pride or embarrassment, they weren't about to change now and call out to God. They had lived a self-reliant life, and they weren't about to change that. I had a person I worked with once And I got into a spiritual discussion with him, and he said, I don't really have time for religion right now, but maybe after I retire, I'll start going to church. I doubt if he ever did. Because you see, when we harden our hearts enough, God gives us the desire of our hearts. The worst thing God can do when we say we have nothing, we don't want anything to do with him, is to oblige us. I was working on this message on the weekend down in Kananaskis, and I had my books on this table, and a man walked by. It turned out he was 65 years old, he told me, but he walked by and he saw one of my books had God in the title. And so that started a spiritual discussion. And he told me, I've been saved 3 times, he said, but it never took. And then he said, the last time, though, he said, it was different. It was just 2 years ago, he said, I was 63. And I was transformed. He went on to tell me things that made me wonder just how transformed he was. But his name, we'll call him Bill, because that's what he told me his name was. Pray for Bill, you know. I'm hoping that he was transformed. He certainly had some of the language, but it also showed that his roots didn't run very deep. It reminded me of the story about a man, a gangster back in the late 40s, early 50s, named Mickey Cohen. It was a time when Billy Graham was having these big crusades in Los Angeles and drawing thousands and thousands of people. And one of Mickey Cohen's associates, actually a wiretapper for the mafia, by the name of Jim Vaus, went to one of Billy Graham's crusades and got saved and changed his life. He left the mafia and he actually got involved in evangelism. And I guess he decided Mickey Cohen needed to hear Billy Graham. So he arranged a meeting between Mickey Cohen and Billy Graham. And there was a time when Mickey Cohen flirted, apparently, with Christianity. But then there was no change in his life. And somebody confronted him, and his reply was, look, he said, there's Christian athletes, there's Christian politicians, there's Christian cowboys, why not Christian gangsters? And you see, when Mickey Cohen understood that he had to change, he had to leave things that were against God and leave friends who were leading him away from God, he would have nothing to do with it. There is a profession of faith that has no roots. I remember many years ago, early into my life here at Balmoral, and I was very involved in the church, and I was coming to a meeting on a Saturday morning. I don't know which meeting it was. It might have even been as holy a meeting as an elders' meeting. But I remember as I got my hand on the door, and it's still vivid in my mind, I realized I was begrudging the fact that I was giving up. It was a Saturday morning, and it was interfering with my life. And I suddenly stopped in my tracks, and I realized I was feeling that serving God in this way was interfering with my natural life that I wanted to get on with. And that started a change in my mindset, because I realized that I was very busy about a lot of things in my life. I mean, I had a young family, I had a career, And what I was trying to do was I was trying to fit God into my busy life. And I was begrudging that. And I realized that I had it wrong. That I had to build my life around Christ, not the other way around. It wasn't a matter, or it isn't a matter of fitting Christ into our busy lives. It's a matter of life is serving Him. And it's a matter of making our life Him the center and our life around that. And we all still struggle with that, but it made a huge impact on me, that insight that day. When it comes to this parable, we could spend lots of time analyzing the detail. We could talk about the theology of this parable. We could wonder, for example, if the seed on the rock really is saved. If you have no roots, can you really be saved? And then we can also get really tied up in, am I too busy? Am I really saved if my mind is set is on all these other things, these distractions? But if we did that, we would be losing the point of the parable, I'm convinced. Here's what I see as the bottom line of this parable. I mentioned that parables invite us to respond. Here's the response I see in this parable. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you? I think that's the take-home message of this parable that Jesus would have us spend our time thinking about. There's two categories of people. The danger is we all just assume that everybody here has come to a point in their life where they've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, where they've recognized their need. That may not be the case. And I want to address, just in case there's anybody here who hasn't come to that point, who hasn't come to the point of recognizing a need for forgiveness, a need for a Savior, who hasn't come to the point of recognizing, without Christ, I am lost. That's the point of the good soil, is initially start with that. Have I hardened my heart against the need for Jesus, that I am lost without Him? And if that describes you, or if you're like Bill and you've been saved 3 or 4 times but it hasn't caught yet, this could be the day. And later on, as I close, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to ask if anybody here has any doubt about that. If you haven't come to that point of saying, I know I'm forgiven. I know Jesus died for me and that I'm going to heaven, not because I'm so good, but because Jesus Christ took my place on the cross and died for me. And that's what I'm relying upon. And I'm going to ask at the end that if that describes you and you want to settle that matter today, forever, and change your destiny, your eternal destiny, you can do that this morning, and I'll ask you to come forward and I'll pray with you. But the rest of you who have it in the past been good soil and received that word and believe Jesus Christ for your forgiveness and know you're going to heaven, then the question I want to leave with you today and have you think about this week is, what kind of soil have I continued to be? Because you see, as I looked at this parable and studied it and reflected upon it, I realized that at times I can be all four of those at any time. I can be a different type of soil. At times I can be hardened to what God wants to teach me. You know, sometimes we come to church, and in churches like Balmoral and in some of the churches where church speakers rotate, sometimes we'll come, and if there's a certain speaker speaking, we will think, well, I'm not going to gain much today. As if the message is coming from the speaker rather than from God. So we come not expecting to learn, as opposed to expecting God to speak to us, regardless of who he's using that morning. I know I can have a hardened heart at times about learning and figuring that I know it, and I'm not always open. Sometimes I don't dig deep enough to lengthen my roots. There's no way I know of to deepen your roots in Christianity without getting into the Bible. You can hear messages, and that's good. You can talk to other Christians, and that's good. But I would dare to say that unless you're regularly in the Bible, you're not growing and deepening your roots. All of us battle with busyness of life. And really, I would challenge you to ask God this week to show you where you might need to change in order to be the type of soil he wants you to be. Ask God what priorities are out of place, out of whack, you know, because we all tend at times to pick up the world's values instead of God's values and God's priorities. And sometimes we just get it wrong. We're not good soil because we're too preoccupied with other things, some of which are very good things, don't get me wrong. But it's a matter of priority. It's a matter, does God come first in my life? And am I acting as if he does? I think that's about all I have to say about the matter. I'm going to ask Alan and Robin to come up and play that song. And as we finish that song, I'm going to ask again if there's anybody here who needs to settle that issue of having a Savior and depending on Christ for your salvation, that you would come forward and do that today. I would hate to think that anybody would leave today not having settled that question, not being the type of soil that is ready to receive that seed that God wants to plant and grow in your life. And then I'll close in prayer. If someone wants a prayer of salvation, I'll pray for that. And otherwise, I'll pray for all of us that we would be challenged this week to be the soil that God wants us to be.